Is Alan Hynek at Northwestern University?
Oh, yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Fine. I think you got my letter.
Yes, sir. Here it is.
Good. Thanks. Well, how is the deal for me?
Negative.
Negative, huh?
It's a good thing. We've had two nights of weather down here.
Oh, well. You got the forms then, too, did you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because that way, as a matter of fact, I have a form that you've already filled out. Yeah, sure. I've got that here. I wanted to just take a little of your time and see how, whether you can add anything, corroborate points on Sullivan's sighting.
All right.
As I understand it, you were some distance behind him, would have viewed the object from somewhat greater distance.
I was, I imagine, a great distance between the two points would be about 3 miles. I was north of him.
You were north of him?
North of east.
North of east, uh-huh. Do you think that getting out there, as Sullivan said he was going to do, and taking sightings with compass bearings, you might get some sort of a fix on the object to sort of soft down how far away it was?
Oh, yes, sir, I think so. I did make a mental note at the time exactly where I was at. I was on a main thoroughfare during the
month,
and had a clear view of the mountains facing towards the west.
Mm-hmm.
It tapped from the left side of my windshield, first on the windshield to the right side, where I lost it behind the trees that was coming up with myself.
Now, I think maybe the best way to go about this is, before I ask any specific questions, is if you wouldn't mind giving me just a short narrative, so what did you see first and how did it happen and all that? I have your form here, the form 164 in front of me. Wait, so that's Sullivan. Let me get yours. Let me start out by asking if you have been put in some magic way, put some relatively familiar thing up in the sky, what thing would you choose that would most nearly simulate this?
I don't know. The shape and the color is something that I've never seen before. It was a dull white submarine.
A dull white submarine, uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that shape.
Yeah.
Well,
that's okay.
The Nautilus without a pine tar star on it, you know.
Yeah.
It was all white, but it didn't shine. It wasn't a reflective white.
Yeah, I see. And it was quite night daylight, I understand.
Oh, yes, sir. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was to my back.
Mm-hmm. So probably the light that you saw from it was reflected light, probably.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Suddenly.
I mean, it wasn't a light. It was a ferret. It was against dark ponderosa of pine trees.
Oh, I see. It wasn't against the sky, then.
Oh, no, sir. It was down below the skyline. It was below the top of the mountains. Our mountains here range. We set at 7,300 feet. And they go up to about almost 11,000. So it was between 7,300 feet and 11,000 feet.
Well,
it was silhouette against dark pine trees.
Okay, well, that's important to say that that puts an upper limit, doesn't it, the distance from it?
Uh-huh. It was about halfway up the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand this is a restricted area, of course, and planes are not allowed to fly.
Now, I'm not quite sure whether they are anymore or not. We don't see many up here. SAC goes over every morning, but we don't see too many planes around these areas unless they're looking for lost hunters or fires or something.
Well, now, when I came up from Albuquerque, I came up on the Carco little plane. And that flew quite low over the place. How did this, the appearance of this differ from the Carco plane?
First of all, the color.
Well, I'm not saying that you were too you could have mistaken us for that, but I want to get clearly in mind just how different it was.
Well, other than the shape and the color, there was no sound. And it was a warm morning. I had the window rolled out in the patrol car. And 9 o'clock, there was no traffic on the street except another police officer and myself was driving towards me. And we were, I drove a couple, 3 miles from the object.
And have we established pretty well that it was the same object that
fell in the car? I talked to Mr. Sullivan quite extensively on it. And I had to let him talk first before I opened my mouth. He told me where it was heading, and I must have picked it up right after he lost it.
Oh, I see. After he lost it.
Because he was south of me.
Uh-huh.
And he just came from the south and north.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I put that thing on the way from my hand. We decided that he was going into his locator approximately 3 miles south, cross country. And he spotted down there first as he was heading north, and then I picked it up. Yeah.
Did you happen to look at your watch at the time, or?
Oh, it was 9 o'clock. I looked at my watch.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, this is, I always have to check these points.
Well, as a matter of fact, I talked to the other officer and I said, Richard, did you see that? No, I didn't see it. Away.
He was in the car with you?
No, he was in the car coming towards me.
Oh, I see.
He had them, coming towards each other on the street.
Well, yeah, he was looking the other way.
At headquarters, where they heard the ammunition, of course, over the radio, and they told me what time it was.
Well, there doesn't seem to be any doubt that it was the same object.
No, with his description of mine, when I talked to him, and we're sure it's the same object, it's in the same location. He has the impression that it goes behind the mountains up there.
Yeah.
But when I lost it behind the trees, it was still flying on the flight.
I'm looking at the two pictures that both you drew. There's not much difference. Yours is more, a little more cigar-like, and this is more of a hamburger, let's say.
Uh-huh. Well, I couldn't get a detailed deal on the back of it. What kind of shape the back was. It didn't have a red or anything on that affair, but actually, it just kind of went along to nothing. Hazy.
Yeah, I see.
But the front was very clear. And the top and the bottom were very distinct. And toward the end of it, there was no definite end to it. It just kind of blurred off.
Now,
it wasn't due to the cracked windshield or anything like that, because it was disappearing all the way across the windshield.
Yeah. How would you describe this angular rate? How long did it take to traverse, say, 45 degrees of your field of vision?
Oh, I don't know. Just a matter of seconds. It was no zoom in a situation such as this, no massive amount of speed. It seemed to be real, the same amount of speed was maintained throughout what I saw.
Oh, the same rate.
Yes, and I couldn't judge it in a matter of
seconds. Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think that you were starting to be a 30 seconds in.
I don't think it was that long. I get to think about it. 30 seconds is quite a period of time.
Yeah, 30 seconds is quite a period of time, Dan.
The more I think about it, I'm trying to look back now, and I put a clock in the face as I saw it, and obviously it was somewhere between around 5 seconds or a longer period. It was quite a period of time to get looking at it going away from me this way.
Yeah, so it was really pushing along.
Yeah, I estimated over 100 miles an hour. Due to the distance that I was from it and the amount of ground it covered.
Yeah, now you since you had a background, there are trees, and then you know how far the trees were, how far would you say the object was from you at its closest?
I don't think it changed this much in distance from me from the time I first spotted it till I lost it. Because
it was going at right angles to you.
I was hitting directly west towards the mountain, and it came up on my left and went to my right, and the field there is not very great as far as roughly 2 or 3 miles I was from it. And it didn't change shape or size, I think, just the whole path that went from the field.
That's sort of since this has happened, you've asked your spy or asked yourself many times, just what might it have been? What, one either has to say it's something unknown to man, so to speak, or it's a man-made craft. What were your feelings after you saw it? Did you feel that you had to observe something very strange, or what?
I had to think it possibly was some sort of an aircraft, and I had never seen one. And we haven't been up to Three Mile for about 15 months now. And I'm from Mount Percy originally. And we have to think it might just close them up, other than the search and rescue on the plane. And this was not a search and rescue plane. The shape was wrong, there was no noise. Now, on a morning like this, there was no wind. It was warm, calm period. From there on the sound, we could hear quite a bit up here. Still, distance isn't that great, and you can't pick up these oddball noises. And there was no sound, so this was eliminated the aircraft, which is its propeller agent, and a jet would have taken some noise.
Yes.
So I couldn't figure out what it was.
And the balloon wouldn't be traveling that fast.
Well, the balloon wouldn't be traveling that fast in a level course.
Well,
I take a little bit of ridicule on this situation.
Well, this is
Patty down here, who is a fine man. He is the green man in space. And the next time I was on the graveyard, I did pick up some kind of a balloon down here, one of the roads. The bamboo and paper situation. Some kind of a rubber view underneath that holds the heating element in it.
Well,
I don't know what it is. I've never seen one like it before, but it was pretty intact. But it was nothing on this one. It was just a small one, not 3 foot across.
Yes. So, from the estimated distance, what would you estimate the size would have been?
Well, I'm trying to think back now and compare it to trees. Now, ponderosa trees are not very wide or tall. And over 50 feet long, I would say 50 feet is pretty long. So, as I say, I couldn't say definitely where the rear end of it was, but it appeared to be over 50 feet long. And I can't tell you how thick it is, but maybe it was 7 or 8 times longer than it was thick on this order.
Yeah. And were there any protuberances of any sort?
No.
Not at all.
I saw nothing after it passed. There was nothing left in the air. There was no paper trail, no noise, no vibration, no, nothing. It just went across like a paper glider would.
Well, that's a very good description, and I'm at a loss as to what additional questions to ask. The color, I take it, was essentially white.
It was, yes, but it wasn't like car white.
Uh-huh.
It was like a dull icebox white, the one with no sides, no.
Yeah.
It was just white in these dark green mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how mountains are up here.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Every forest.
Yeah.
And the sun was shining against it, and it was very green, very deep green. And this white stood out.
Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility, I've got to check all these things, even crazy as they may sound, is there any possibility that it could have been a large, or like a heron or some sort of a bird going across?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, I would not see a heron at 3 miles.
No, but people said things, I'm not saying it happened, I'm just exploring things. Sometimes people see a seagull going across just maybe 30 feet from them, and they mistake it as being much farther. But you're an officer, and you're trained in doing things differently.
Well, now, I'm not, but if you remember correctly, they go up to a little ledge, and they break off a little bit, and then they go up to the peak.
Well,
now, this is just below that first ledge.
Okay.
And I don't imagine it was very far off the ground.
Mm-hmm. The radar
certainly wouldn't have picked it up.
I don't think anything had picked it up, really. It was that close to the ground, and I don't know how far out from the mountain, looking from west to east, I don't know how far west was the mountain, but it appeared less than 500 feet from straight down from the altitude ground. And I know where I'm going, no seagulls, and I don't know any other animals, but we don't have anything like that up here.
No, you wouldn't have that far, and undoubtedly one would have seen wing motion.
Yeah. But this is a white object. It's going along its normal flight, no increase in speed or elevation. Well, I see them go. And the only reason I lost it was probably between me and the object was this bunch of trees on our main drag. The trees were about half a block from me. So that's why I lost it. In other words, it was cut across the front of the street from me.
Well, it never passed in front of any other object, did it?
No, there's nothing up there in the
sky. Yeah, nothing else to pass in front of it. No.
That time of morning, all our traffic is over. We have a big rush of traffic from 5 minutes late until about 10 after.
Yeah.
And everything just dwindled down to nothing. There's nothing to people except religion and unbelief at that time of morning.
Yeah. That's a strange one. Certainly a strange one. So it certainly corroborates Mr. Sullivan's story. And,
after this happened, I had a friend of mine from Albuquerque come up here to the lieutenant on the police department down here. And I was talking to him about this, you know, when I was here. He said that quite a while back, he had seen the same thing in a canyon just south of here. And he and his 13-year-old daughter and 16-year-old son had the same thought for approximately a minute or so. The canyon we're referring to is directly south of here in Cochise Canyon. And we used to camp down there quite often. My family did, and back in the and they found it in a parallel with on dirt roads for quite a ways. He said about a mile.
Well,
I guess it was the same as mine, so I got made familiar with two of us being linked in this world.
What is his name, you say?
Kenneth
Haynes. I wonder if he would be, how long ago did this happen?
Oh, he told me at the time it was, but I don't think it's been quite a long time. Of course, draw conclusions, but I don't think it's been quite a long time. It's been 5 years, which is getting out for 9 years. I think it's been for more.
Yeah, well.
Of course, his daughter thought it on him. They have a kind of weird thing with that, you know.
This is a sort of when there's more witnesses, more than one witness, I like to follow that down. And do you ever see him anymore? Or?
Oh, yes, we go down to about once a month or so. He's been rising in charge of the police department. Albuquerque is lying. I'm sure he'd help you.
All right, well, I'll do that. Now, see, so it's kind of changed.
Yeah, he changed. I am, yes.
He's in the police department.
Second to Harris, Northwest.
Second and Harris?
T. Harris, T-I-J-E-R-E-S.
I'm sorry, is this a street name you're giving us?
Second.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the city.
City? And T. Harris.
Oh, second and
T.
Harris.
Yeah, T. Harris.
That's a funny name. You say it's got a T in the period, isn't it, Harris?
No, no.
T-I-J-E-R-E-S. Oh, that sort of thing. I get you.
Yeah, gringo.
Yeah, I could say so. Gringo is right. All right, now I have it.
Okay. That's the security department here. Just get that to the mind.
Good. I'll
I'm sure you'll help you out, because we did have a long discussion on the darn thing up here, but it was basically
well, we'll have to follow these things up because something is going on, certainly.
Well, we believe so. Of course, we're just these people up here, and there's bound to be something going on up here.
Well, well, also, if anything else comes up, feel free to get in touch with me.
Oh,
if it's something urgent, don't hesitate to call collect. Because I think in the next year or two, I hope within the year, something will crack on this problem. I hope so.
Well, I talked to Mr. Sullivan.
Well, as cases as good as this one, with two very reliable witnesses, we should squeeze everything we can out of it.
Well, I've been through a once not four intensive now that I used to be. This has kept my eye, you know. I think everybody has a spot on their eye once in a while. And there's something, you know, that washes across.
Sure.
But I had these. But they are black.
Yes, they're black, and
they don't, they usually wave a little bit or take off to on one side. They don't go right across your eye. You can't keep them
view as long. No, that's correct. You can't focus on them.
And I had a clear view of this for quite a period of time.
Well, good, Dennis. You and Mr. Sullivan will continue to get together and get the measures of bearings. So what I asked him for, and I would certainly appreciate your cooperation, is an ordinary road map or topo map with the lines of sight at the beginning and end of each sighting drawn. And I finally was able to make a very good judgment from that then.
All right, fine. We should do it.
Good enough. Well, thank you.
Thank you for going, sir.
Right on.